You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to it. Is it the second best day of the week? I mean, what do we call this? I guess we're calling it the second best day of the week. It's hump day.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
there it is. I've been laughing at that for the last 2.5 years. But yeah, welcome to hump day. And that's pushing those buttons is Boomer on the board. Hey, buddy. How are you?
I'm much better than yesterday.
You're awake.
I'm awake. It's because I went to sleep right after Little Man's game last night. I was done, just like him.
What time did y'all get through?
I think we got through at like 8 o'clock, and then we got home and got him to bed, him and the little one to bed, and then I was like, I'm going to bed. Good night.
You're like an old man.
I felt like it. But you know what? I feel much better because I slept great last night.
Did he win?
He did.
Did he score?
He did. He scored 2, and then they had to go to a shootout.
No, because they tied. Really?
They tied. This is like
Premier League soccer.
I know
here.
It's tournament season apparently. So they went to a shootout and they won. So they get to play one more game tomorrow night.
Oh, nice! All right, it'll only be 95 degrees.
So hot.
By the way, this is fall, right?
I thought it was.
Last I checked. Okay, hey, we got a great show laid on for you. Aside from playing the camel. Because it's hump day. Welcome to it. Midweek, you're halfway to the weekend. But aside from playing the camel, 4 o'clock today, Grand Council with our brethren Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. They'll be on here at 4 for the Grand Council, where we ping each other with questions and just find out what our various thoughts are. Don't always agree, but we always love each other when it's done. And then I got a triple dipper, so hit it, man.
The triple dipper. 3 stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper, 3 stories, 3 themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. Number one, out the gate, bellwether. Yesterday I told you that there were elections happening in some of the off-cycle states that we looked at them and thought, is this a bellwether? Well, let's just say, I hope not. I hope not, because they did not work out the way most Republicans would want them to work out. I would dare say that Republicans have got their work cut out for them. If you think it's going to be a cakewalk because Biden's so jacked up, apparently even people who are porn stars can run for office in places like Virginia and run a close race. So yeah, it's been amazing to watch. It's been disappointing. It also should be very concerning. And I'll just tell you right now, top of the ticket and the RNC better get their act together because the bellwether. Did not ring well in our favor. We'll talk about that in more detail here in a few minutes. I'll tell you all about it. Number two on the triple dipper, I'm just calling it, that's enough of that. All right, that's just enough of that. So we've got an amazing amount of anti-Semitism right here in the United States. Now, keep in mind, I said before the other day that over 65% of the nation in a recent poll says they absolutely openly support Israel. We've got only about 8% that claim to be anti-Israel. At the same time, though, pro-Israel and pro, you know, or not being anti-Semitic are two different things. I am pretty much agog and aghast at the things that I'm seeing and hearing, even from elected officials in the United States. So we're going to talk about it with number two on the triple dipper. That's enough of that, is what I'm calling it. And then number three, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and be politically incorrect. This one is called Chicks and Dudes. Chicks and dudes, because in case you didn't know, chicks are chicks and dudes are dudes. That's just, you know, the way it is. If you are born a certain way with certain parts, guess what? You are indeed a chick or a dude based upon that biological sense. I am sick to death of seeing the amazingly indifferent attitudes of people who are like, why would you care? if a giant-sized man decides to compete against young girls, why would you care? If a man walks into the women's room, why would you care? You know what? Because chicks are chicks and dudes are dudes, and we're going to talk about it is number three on the Triple Dipper. All right, let me jump over here to my comments, and I will just tell you the Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics all over North Alabama, all over our listening area for that matter. Southern Immediate Care is the sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue, and they are open 7 days a week, every location. I know the owner, I do, and he's a Right Side ruffian, y'all. Southern Immediate Care in places like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, five locations around the Birmingham area. You check them out. They are the sponsor of the daily Right Side Way monologue. All right, so here we go. I'm going to blend a little bit of military history with some modern culture for a few minutes as part of today's opening comments. So, be honest with you, I've always been a student of what we might call specialized warfare for as long as I can remember. I mean, even as a kid, when I read books on military history, I often gravitated toward the stories of units like the 1st Special Service Force, known as the Devil's Brigade, or Merrill's Marauders, or the OSS in World War II, or the Vietnam-era LRPs, the Long-Range Reconnaissance Patrols. In the American Civil War, we had guerrilla fighters on both sides fighting for the North and the South. And even back to the Revolutionary War, led by such figures as Francis Marion, who was known as the Swamp Fox, upon which the movie Patriot was based, starring Mel Gibson. The legendary Major Robert Rogers, who led Rogers' Rangers in the French and Indian War. And the classic treatise on warfare and military strategy called On War by Prussian General Karl von Clausewitz in the early 1800s, he talked about the concepts of what we refer to now as guerrilla warfare. He called it the Volkskrieg, which means a people's war, meaning that guerrilla forces and unconventional warfare from irregular units would often arise and serve for a selected period of time from among the people. Well, as one scholar said, it meant, quote, that war was no longer merely the business of generals and armies limited by the rules and conventions and laws of war. Instead, there were often ordinary people who would fight with whatever weapons they had, however bad the military odds, to preserve the soul of their country. Well, most of these so-called irregulars or guerrilla fighters, they would wind up being disbanded once the present need was gone, but only after they had served their purpose to the fullest extent possible, only after they had reached a point where they were no longer needed. Well, let me tell you about one such unit that you may have never heard of, a specialized unit, a unit called the Alamo Scouts. Now, contrary to what the name sounds like, this was not something from the days of the Alamo, all right? This was a unit formed for special reconnaissance operating in the Pacific theater of World War II. History says the commanding general of the 6th Army in the Pacific, he was just tired of getting outdated and incorrect intelligence. So he petitioned General MacArthur to have the ability to form what he called a specialized guerrilla force. And that band of soldiers became the Alamo Scouts. Some say the name comes from the fact that the general himself was a native of San Antonio. Others say it was because at every turn in their missions, these men were so far behind so far ahead of friendly forces by themselves with no help of hope from the outside that if things went bad, it was like every day was being in the Alamo. So they were an ad hoc unit. They had no formal organizational documents. Even the uniform patch they adopted for themselves was considered a bootleg item. There were only 138 men who were ever deemed tough enough or skilled enough to serve in the Alamo Scouts. Their missions required them to silently slip onto Japanese-held islands, to stalk through thick jungles, to gather intelligence on enemy positions. Some of their missions kept them behind enemy lines for weeks at a time. Y'all, the Alamo Scouts conducted over 100 missions deep behind enemy lines. They made the Japanese Army miserable. The Alamo Scouts went where no one else could go, and their missions were essential to helping organize large-scale guerrilla operations among the people who lived there under the watch of the Japanese. They established road watch stations. They attempted to locate and kill or capture Japanese flag officers. They did other direct action missions, and they gathered lots of intelligence. The Alamo Scouts personally liberated almost 200 Allied POWs. But they also served as the advance scouts for one of the most famous raids to rescue POWs during World War II, led by the 6th Ranger Battalion. It became known as the Great Raid, in which they assisted in fighting their way into a Japanese prison camp at Cabana Tuan, and they rescued 513 American POWs who were being risked of mass execution. At the end of the war, the unit was disbanded, but movies have been made and books have been written. Only 138 men. But like I said, movies and books. In 1988, the U.S. Army decided to recognize the Alamo Scouts as being one of the precursors of what we call the modern-day Green Berets, awarded all of the surviving members a Special Forces tab for their work during the war. Well, every major conflict has had its share of specially organized irregular fighters. Guerrillas, who operate unconventionally and get things done, sometimes rising up from among the people. So recently I read something that caught my eye, and it got me to thinking about what I often call on this show the culture war. And I came across an interview with conservative commentator Matt Walsh from the Daily Wire. He was being asked about his new documentary, What is a Woman?, which has really made liberals mad. In the course of his interview, he said this in response to a question about whether or not conservatives could win the culture war. He said this, quote, "We know scripturally, we've already seen the last page of the book, so we know we ultimately win. But in the short term," he said, "I do believe this fight in particular, the fight we talk about in his film, is a winnable fight. But any fight in this culture, if we're going to win it, it's going to be over the course of generations because we lost the culture over the course of generations." And then he added this. He said, "Right now, we are kind of like the guerrilla fighters in a hostile environment. We're kind of like the ones in the woods having to hide, come up with little operations, and we got to this point over the course of generations." He said, "It only makes sense that to pull ourselves out of it, it's going to take generations. But we have to be willing to fight in the long term. And if we're only looking for, here's my five-step plan, it'll all be solved by next week or next Tuesday, here's a switch I can flip, everything's fine, if that's what you want, you're not really in the fight." I agree with that sentiment. My wife Charlene always says there's more of us than there are of them, but even still, that doesn't negate the fact that we are in a culture war, a clash of ideologies that has been on revising the standards, the mores, the customs, the laws of this land by hook or by crook. And in their efforts to do so, the left is right now operating out in the open. I mean, they're very visible. And for the moment, they have the cudgel of control instilled in the Senate and the presidency with the added layer of an overwhelming amount of current media and social media. State governments, state governors, attorneys general, they're the ones who are in the open position of counter-warfare for us. At least some are. And there are members of the House and the Senate who are openly opposed to the left side of the culture war. But for the rest of us, we cannot sit idly by and hope that conventional forces will somehow carry the day. There has never been a major conflict that did not also have a strong and viable element of unconventional warfare. Guerrillas operating in the shadows. And that's who we are. The bulk of conservatives out there are like the Alamo Scouts in the culture war. Working the issues, working the messaging, striking hard, moving fast. We have to stay on our toes. We have to gather up good intel and call it in. And we have to keep the fight alive. The left is operating in the open right now, and our conservative forces are also arrayed in the open aspects of those conventional culture war fights. But the rest of us, we can have a part. We can be the Volkskrieg. We can be a people's culture war. We can be where the irregulars are, sometimes loosely banded, sometimes carrying the fight for as long as the homeland needs us. Like Alamo Scouts in the culture war. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, amazing unit. Amazing unit. And by the way, take that analogy for what it's worth. We do need to consider ourselves as irregular fighters, sometimes having to do what we do even when we're behind enemy lines. If you want to read a great book, by the way, about the Alamo Scouts, it's called Shadows in the Jungle, The Alamo Scouts Behind Japanese Lines of World War II by a guy named Larry Alexander. Shadows in the Jungle. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.